Yeah. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the War Room. This one is for the UFC 270 co-main event for the flyweight title, a rematch of a rematch between Brandon Moreno, the defending champion, and Davison Figueiredo. Okay, so obviously an interesting situation given the fact that Figueiredo was the champion. He was going into his second defense against Moreno, and Moreno put up a hell of a fight. Obviously, the first fight was, there were a lot of different things going on, fouls and point deductions, etc., which I'll go through in a minute. But the main point was that Moreno did enough to earn a rematch. You know, he fought to a draw. He did enough to earn a rematch. And in the rematch, he absolutely smashed it out of the water. It was just a different version of Figueiredo. Now, they're fighting again, of course, because, you know, Figueiredo was the champion and, you know, he has an opportunity to get his belt back. But who knows what's going to happen in this next one, because there are so many different ways that this could play out. I mean, we've seen so much from both of these guys in these first two fights. But one thing that we do know is that they're very evenly matched. They both bring equal amounts of competitiveness to the cage, you could say. Okay, what I'm going to do, I'm just going to quick run through the first fight. What I saw, how I scored it, very, very quickly, just so you can kind of get an outline of what I saw from the first fight going into the second one and you know, what shifted, and, well, certainly what shifted in Moreno's favor. So the difference between the first two fights, in the first fight, first round, Figueiredo comes out really hard. He comes out ready to bully Moreno. He's pushing him back against the fence. He's landing power shots. He doesn't fight like he's reserving any energy for the championship rounds. You know, he's putting it on Moreno like he's going to be able to get him out of there within, you know, five or eight minutes. And that was the intensity that he brought. And that, you know, put Moreno under pressure a little early. I do think he started to establish his jab quite well in the first round, but it wasn't until the second that Moreno really started to, you know, put his hands together, find his range, find the gaps in Figueiredo's guard when he overcommits to stuff, because he does like to wing his shots. One of the reasons why he's so fun to watch is because he's very aggressive. And Moreno, I would say, is the sharper boxer. Maybe not the most impactful of boxers of the two with his boxing, but I do think his hands are sharp, and he finds those safe pockets where he puts himself, you know, to land that lovely double left hook that he's got. He's a very slick boxer, but with the force and the power that Figueiredo puts into his punches and throws, even when they land on the guard, they look impactful. You know, they get bigger reactions from the commentators. So I think that's one thing that always swings it in Figueiredo's favor in some people's eyes, is the volume and the power that you can feel in his punches. So I gave Figueiredo the first round of the first fight because I thought he got off to a great start. But the second round I gave for Moreno because I started to feel like he found his range. He was able to pick Figueiredo off a little bit when he was getting reckless. And then there was also the eye poke, which was pretty bad. And this is something that was, I mean, maybe a bit of a philosophical tangent, perhaps, so bear with me. Figueiredo is a different version in the second fight. He was far less warlike. And what I mean by that is, you know, some guys get into the octagon because they want to compete. They want to be athletes and sports people, and they want to be great martial artists. And they're quite happy to compete within the rules because it's a friendly competition. For other people, it's war. It is life and death. They are fighting for everything that they have, and they don't comprehend it the same way as their opponents sometimes. I think with Moreno and Figueiredo, it's a great example, and especially because Figueiredo's nickname is you know, God of War. There's something very warlike about Figueiredo, and it does mean that he kind of skirts the edges of the rules a little bit. He finds ways to, you know, damage, injure, hurt his opponents. And you see this with a lot of the great fighters. You know, Jon Jones does it. I would say Daniel Cormier does it, even though he might deny it. You know, there are certain things that these high-level warlike competitors put into their game that gives them the slight edge. You know, the old Raiders mentality of, if you're not cheating, you're not trying. It's very closer to that when it's fighting, because your intention is to hurt the other person. It's different in any other sport. So when you have someone like Figueiredo, sometimes it's more difficult to get them to control themselves in those environments because they are so invested in that warlike mentality. I don't think we saw that in the second fight. And I think part of that reason may have been because he had a really hard weight cut, but it may have also been because he really started to like Brandon Moreno. And I know that's an odd thing to say, but if you look at the end of the second fight, Figueiredo goes over to Moreno and he embraces him. He was happy for him to be the champion. It was like there was no, I mean, of course there was disappointment on Figueiredo's part, but he felt very much dominated and he was really happy to see Moreno have such a successful night, even though he was on the receiving end of it. So I think that was a shift in mentality from Figueiredo. I know that was a bit of a diversion, but I think it is important because the story throughout the first fight, and I think the story if you're fighting Figueiredo the first time and if he doesn't like you and if there's been trash talk or if he feels like, you know, you don't deserve to be in the octagon with him or whatever it is, he very much skirts the edge of the rules. And I think that didn't happen nearly as much in the second fight for whatever reason. But in the first fight, I felt like it was a big narrative. So we had the bad eye poke in the second round. In the third round, we had a cup shot, which was, it was a horrible sound. As Joe Rogan said, he grabbed his own package. but Herzog deducted a point because it was a fight-changing situation. And it was the right thing to do. I know it wasn't the second time he'd been kicked in the groin. I know it was that, you know, the first foul was an eye poke, but you've got to think that each one of these fouls is it's decreasing Moreno's competitiveness just by a little bit. And it's the referee's call to decide whether that's enough to warrant a point deduction. And in this equation, especially because of how bad Moreno had been hurt by that groin shot, it was the right thing to do. Now, it didn't change the fight too much, aside from the fact that it brought it into a draw as opposed to a win for Figueiredo, because all of the judges had Figueiredo winning the fight, regardless of the point deduction. With the point deduction, it brought the scorecards down, which I'll have a look at in a second. But just going on, with that point deduction and the way that most of the judges scored it and the way that I scored it, that meant that they were going into the next round even. So the championship rounds were the deciding rounds, and Moreno won the fourth and Figueiredo won the fifth. That's how I got it. A couple of the judges agreed. One of the judges saw it the opposite way. But again, it was a very, very competitive fight. I mean, so I've pulled up the stats here. I can't get my breath today. Okay. So just to go through how competitive this was. So first round, 28 and 28 strikes each. They both landed 50% of the shots that they threw, which is crazy. One failed takedown for Figueiredo, two for Brandon Moreno. But, you know, 8 seconds difference in the control time in Moreno's favor. They're so evenly matched. 34 to 31 strikes in favor of Figueiredo in the next round. But then Moreno did score two takedowns, which gave him 30 seconds of control. But still, you look at the strike differential between the two. You know, 21 to 25, 38 to 40. I mean, you're talking like a handful of strikes. It wasn't until the fifth round where Moreno had the injury to his arm blocking that kick from Moreno, and then Figueiredo was able to double his output and take him down. So that was a clear round for Figueiredo. But I also felt like Moreno had a really strong fourth. So again, I mean, you know, it's very easy to make an argument for that rematch. Let's just have a quick look at the scorecards, because here they are. So as you can see, Derek Cleary had the first three rounds to Figueiredo, then the point deduction, which evened that third round out. Moreno clearly took the fourth, and Figueiredo clearly took the fifth. I agree with that, aside from the second round. I could also see Moreno winning that middle round as well, because I felt like his boxing was a bit sharper. But again, I feel like Figueiredo's hands are a bit heavier and they look more impactful. Okay, Sal D'Amato, who is, I believe, is the most experienced MMA judge on the planet right now. He's had lots and lots of fights, always octagon side. First round for Figueiredo, second round for Moreno, third round for Figueiredo with the point deduction, evens the round out, fourth round clear for Moreno, fifth round clear for Figueiredo. So that's a draw with the point deduction, and then so is the next card. But as you can see, with the competitiveness, Camacho had the second round for Figueiredo instead of Moreno, and the fifth round for Moreno instead of Figueiredo. So you can see how this was, it was a hard one to split. And then with the fouls, it kind of makes you wonder how the fight would have actually turned out had they not happened, had it been a fair and even fight. So going into the second one, this was far more one-sided. And there are a few reasons for that. I think, first of all, Figueiredo had more respect for Moreno the second time around. He didn't come out in that first round like he was only fighting for 10 minutes. He came out like this might be a blood and guts 25 minutes because he remembered how the last one was. So I think going into that second one, he was far more respectful in the first round, which allowed Moreno to establish his boxing much quicker. Now, he's got a wicked jab, Moreno. That's one thing that I do love about his game. And the reason why it's so difficult for his opponents to spot and why it's so fast is because he's loaded very heavily on his lead leg. So he's primed for that snapping jab. Like, as he throws it, it stays so low profile and he doesn't turn his knuckles over until right at the end when he lands. That's the point. So you don't see the flaring of the elbow because he's turning his knuckles down too soon. He's not doing this stuff like he's rowing a boat. Like, it's very, very narrow, very side on, and he fires it out, snaps it. The other thing that's interesting is that Moreno's got a 2-inch reach advantage, which really surprises me because you would think Figueiredo, I mean, he looks like the bigger individual, but Moreno is actually 2 inches taller with a 2-inch reach advantage according to UFC stats. So that further exemplifies the length of that arm and the length of that snapping jab that Moreno uses. And it is such a problem for Figueiredo, especially because he likes to walk into range with his hands down. And he likes to swing from the hip. You know, he's a gunslinger, like Cub Swanson and John Lineker. You know, those kind of fighters that they put a lot of power in their punches, but you kind of see them coming because they come from a distance. With Moreno, he's far more of a slick boxer. And he's so heavy on his lead leg, which makes him look like he's closer. So when his opponents swing, he's able to dip back and pop, pop, pop. It's a beautiful style. Really, really nice. It does mean that he has to work harder for his victories, though, there's no doubt. And that's why Figueiredo, you know, he came in the first fight and people expected him to just blast Moreno out of the water. Because you've got to remember, Moreno was in the UFC. He won a few fights. He won 3 fights, then he lost 2, got released, went away and won a couple more and then came back. So Moreno's octagon presence is not quite the same as Figueiredo. And I do think that has changed. But going into that first fight, everyone thought Figueiredo was going to kind of throw him around and beat him up a little bit, the people that I was talking to. But I think what we've seen of these last 2 fights is the slickness of Brandon Moreno. And that second fight even more so. So, a bit of a slower start from Figueiredo. Moreno was able to catch him with a nice stepping, stinging jab, talking about his jab, and actually dropped him with the jab. So a really strong first round for Moreno. Could have scored it a 10-8, could be a 10-9, depending on how much you value that knockdown. Same thing with the second round, but there was a bit of a takedown scramble, and Moreno was able to reverse it and get Figueiredo on his back. So another strong round for Moreno. In the third round, a takedown scramble was established. Moreno stepped in with a right hand and ended up with double underhooks. And as he went for the takedown, he ended up scrambling and taking the back of Figueiredo. And this finish was beautiful. This is something I want to take you through step by step because the way that he sets it up is really nice. So the attack starts at about 3:20 on the clock, and it's not until 40 seconds later, I think, that Moreno is able to sink in the rear naked choke. But that's because Figueiredo, he was burying his chin and he was hand fighting and he was controlling wrists and, you know, he was doing all the right things to defend it. So Figueiredo does this. Let me show you this. So here they are, up against the fence. This is right before the end of the fight. And as you can see here, Moreno's got... So this is his right arm, and his right arm goes around here, and it's holding onto the wrist of his left arm, which is here, and goes under the arm. So he's kind of got this, he's around the head and the arm at the moment. And this is making Figueiredo feel like he's very, very safe. So what you'll see Moreno do now is he'll start to move his arm to try and attack. And this forces Figueiredo to lift his elbow up. So he's trying to close this space here so the arm can't go around and finish the choke. So in Figueiredo's mind, especially because there's the body triangle here, as you can see, there's the body triangle for Moreno, which kind of locks him into that side. So even if Figueiredo offers him an arm triangle and Moreno decides to take it, he's going to struggle to get out of that way to get to the side of Figueiredo to finish an arm triangle. He's kind of stuck because of the position of the triangle. Good control, bad mobility. So the only thing that Moreno can do really is focus on either striking or attacking. So as he goes to do this, you can see that Figueiredo pulls his arm up to close this space here, this little gap. He's closing that down so an arm's not going to slide through there. So Figueiredo has got a hook on his lat here. He's grabbed onto his lat. And what he's going to do is he's going to start peppering him with shots because you can see how high that elbow is. Figueiredo very much feeling like he's safe. So Moreno is going to start cracking him with a few shots and that gets the reaction that he wants, where now this space is starting to open up. This space here, look, now that gets a bit wider. And because he's starting to irritate Figueiredo, not really hurting him and not probably doing anything particularly impactful, but certainly irritating him, Figueiredo now starts to reach back with this arm, which is a terrible idea. Because as he does it, this is beautiful what Moreno does. So you'll see right in the corner of the screen, he's grabbed this wrist. You're going to see this arm roll over. So right now it's here. He's going to roll the arm over the shoulder and he's going to drive the arm of Figueiredo down and then immediately lock up the rear neck choke. So look, grabs the wrist. Look at that. I mean, it's so quick. Because he knows as soon as he grabs that wrist, Figueiredo is going to be aware of what he's trying to do and he's going to try and stop it. So watch. Grabs the wrist. Look at the hand position change. It goes straight over to the other side. In. There's your bite. And then he fires the arm all the way across. So it was here. He's driven it all the way over here. And now look where the arm is. Around the neck. Over the shoulder. So now what he needs to do, this hand needs to slide to this bicep. And then this hand's going to come around the back of the head. Now it's starting to look like a hockey playbook. There it is, bang. And it's like a bite. That's what I love about it. It's like the way that he attacks the neck is it's like a dog biting on something. But obviously with a lot more technical consideration. Here we go. Grabs the wrist, rolls the hand over the shoulder, drives the hand away, and then immediately straight to the bicep. And he's on the top of the head here, which is not ideal. What he really wants to do is bury this glove down the back. It wants to be here. Because that's a position where Figueiredo can't grab that hand and start to pull it over. But because the bite under the chin is so deep, he's just squeezing. Because he knows he's got it. And this is panic stations now for Figueiredo. There are no arms in. His chin is sticking out. That is a fully sunk rear naked choke. And you can see him trying to peel this top arm off. Because that's what's keeping the whole thing locked in. But even when he's able to alleviate that pressure, you can see Moreno go straight back to it to replace. And he is squeezing with everything. He's also squeezing, don't forget, with the body triangle. So that's making it difficult for Figueiredo to breathe as well. And he's clamped onto the neck. And he's trying to peel that arm off, you can see, but it's just too much. It was a really, really nice finish. And it capped off a really good performance. Great boxing in the first round. In the second round, he was taken down, was able to scramble back to his feet and reverse it, and then was able to hold top position. And then in the third round, you know, the back and forth boxing, but still quite sharp, and was able to step in with the right hand and get into that position where he could start attacking the neck. It was just a really, really good performance from Moreno. So now we're going into a third fight. So let's go through the tail of the tape. Because I'm interested in this third fight because I feel like Figueiredo is a danger no matter how many times he loses to somebody. It doesn't matter how many times someone's able to beat him or take him to a decision. There's always that chance that Figueiredo is going to crack him with something or jump on him and strangle him. He's a lethal individual. But Moreno's found a rhythm now. He's found a way to beat him. And the moments in the first fight where he started to get the better of him that he wasn't quite able to cling on to before Figueiredo started to turn the tide, They're the moments that he focused on throughout his training camp and made himself even better. The sharper boxing, in and out of range, and also, you know, not being afraid to grapple with Figueiredo, you know, tangling up with him and making him work, because Figueiredo is not going to be able to keep a pace for 25 minutes. You know, Moreno is much more conditioned for that kind of fight. Average fight time, there you go, 14 minutes for Moreno. Average is 10:35 for Figueiredo, but that's because he's stopping people. So if we look at Moreno, 19-5-2 is his record. 22-1 is Figueiredo's record. Obviously, one of those losses and the draw is Moreno. 2-inch height advantage for Moreno, 2-inch reach advantage for Moreno. He's also, 6 years younger, which is explains his Lego collection. Well, I'm rather jealous of it. It's quite epic. But then if you look down, you know, slightly more strikes landed per minute, higher striking defense for Moreno. He absorbs less shots. Good takedown offense, slightly better than Moreno, slightly better than Figueiredo, but then Figueiredo has got a slight advantage in takedown accuracy. I mean, they are so very evenly matched. Really, this fight comes down to Moreno playing smart for as long as it takes to get the win. Figueiredo presents all kinds of problems. He's a powerhouse. He's a bully. He can skirt the edge of the rules, and you can be working through eye pokes and groin shots and whatever else. He might grab the fence if you're trying to take him down. Like, there's a whole bunch of things that Moreno has to consider that he's going to be up against. And, you know, sometimes when one of our fighters is going up against a guy like that or a fighter like that, I'll say, hey, expect this, you know, be on your game all the time. You know, as soon as the round's ended, don't take your eyes off the person. Some people you have to be aware of. And I feel like when Davison Figueiredo comes in with a warlike mentality, which may be something down to his weight cut, maybe something down to how he feels about his opponent, but you're damn sure he wants this belt back. And I think he's going to cause Moreno all kinds of problems. It might be a much closer fight than the last one. I still feel like Moreno has got the better fight IQ and the better striking and wrestling. But the strength and power of Davison Figueiredo is kind of an equalizer, which is why they're so evenly matched. This is just such a fascinating one. I'm a big fan of Moreno. I would quite like him to defend the belt. Then Figueiredo can move up to bantamweight. I think that is a likely move for him. But if Figueiredo stays here, then Pantoja's sitting in the wings waiting for another opportunity. But I'd like this division to move on. And I think it does if Moreno wins. Just before I wrap up, Twitter questions. I had asked a little bit earlier today for some Twitter questions. I got some really good ones. So, Albuca. Okay, so do you agree with Fig being the underdog, even if he has a smooth weight cut? Moreno's win over obviously compromised Fig doesn't convince me he could be a healthy Figueiredo. So basically, am I surprised that Figueiredo's an underdog? And Moreno's win over him, is it questionable given the fact that Figueiredo had a rough weight cut? Potentially, yes. I'm not surprised that Figueiredo's the underdog, because I think people have now seen the technical ability of Brandon Moreno. His toughness was undeniable, and I think he was just so technically dominant in that last fight that even if Figueiredo comes in after a healthier weight cut in better shape, I still feel like, I mean, Brandon Moreno might have to fight him harder to keep the belt, but I still think he's got the technical ability. But definitely Figueiredo didn't look himself in that last fight. So we'll see. Okay. Degenerate University. That sounds like someone that gave me a degree. So this is a two-part question. So I'll focus on the Figueiredo-Moreno one. What's going to be the main difference in Figgy versus Moreno that we didn't see in the first two fights, and could we possibly see a fourth? If Figueiredo wins, yes, we could absolutely see a fourth. I mean, these guys could just throw the belt back and forth to one another. If there's any main difference in this next fight, it's going to be the low kick attacks of Figueiredo. There was a difference in stats between their first fight and their second fight. In their first fight, I've not got the stats pulled up now. In their first fight, Figueiredo threw 98% of his shots to the head and the remaining two to the body. He was entirely head focused. Coming into the second fight, he threw a good portion of shots to the legs. I mean, I think it was only a handful still, but there was still more of a focus on leg attacks. And I think that might be something, because as I was saying, Moreno hangs heavy on that lead leg. It would make sense to attack that. But yeah, as I said, you know, Figueiredo wins. If Figueiredo wins, we'll see a fourth fight. Okay, well, one more. I've already discussed this. If Figgy is to lose this weekend, will we see him potentially move up a weight class? Yeah, I think so. I think he's always battling the scales at flyweight, and I think he'd be fun at bantamweight. I do feel like he'd be very much a Rafael dos Anjos as a welterweight in the bantamweight division. I think one of the key assets of his game is that he's a bully. Is that he's big and powerful, and he can throw that weight around. So when you discount that from his game moving up to bantamweight, you have to see more of his technical ability shine through. And I think we're seeing some of those technical deficits, especially in his striking skill set with Brandon Moreno. It's a hard division, that is. It's a very hard division, especially if you're coming in trying to bully those boys. It will not be good for him. But I would like to see him at bantamweight. He might look just fresher and more powerful and stronger, and might have more gas in the tank for training as well. So he might be a different fighter technically, but we'll see. Really interesting fight. I hope you enjoy it, and I'll see you next time.